SpaceX scientist over near-Earth objects was murdered in the last 24 hours. This ties into the deep state's operations. Dark journalist Daniel List is going to be breaking it down in the hour. I'm going to host a little bit more, but I want to just leave and eat my lunch and listen to him because he's better when I'm not here, though he wants me to stay with him. He's got a whole list of documents he's going to go over and so much more. This is the real meat and potatoes this hour. But your message to Trump, I know this, you know this, but listeners are great, but I can barely keep track. Explain, you have the ex-protect group that's the bad guys. You have the people that want to release everything. Trump's part of that. What is your advice in the short segment to Trump?
Part of the UFO declassification process should include the continuity of government players because they're the same team. And those are the largest secrets in deep state that control so many aspects over the executive branch. And to bring the UFO file back under the executive branch is a quest inside the Trump administration. And like I said, he did it with Space Force. He's done it with other things. But right now, the declassification of these documents and his announcement, early announcement, because he was really forced into this timeline by Obama, he was going to do this in July. And the reason I think he was choosing that was this idea of the 250th anniversary of the United States. Now, this is very interesting. His mentor, in many ways, Richard Nixon, and where he got so many of his deep ideas about the presidency, Nixon himself in 1976 was also going to do a gigantic UFO revelation in 1976 for the 200th anniversary, and that didn't end up happening. So what Trump needs to do is make sure that he's not cut off at the most crucial point in dealing with this. And the way to do that is to go directly into the military contractor backgrounds and where they move the actual scientific information from cases like the Roswell case and others, instead of getting that whitewash of like, here's some documents. And then like the JFK, it doesn't go anywhere. There's like, oh, here's some frill for the media, but we don't actually get to any deep points. Now, what I was thinking about that Trump can do particularly is dealing with groups like Boeing, dealing with groups like Lockheed, and saying, well, I've directed Hegseth to get me all of this as part of the Department of War. Well, you're going to have to deal with them, and there has to be a way to compel them and make that a public point. So you're going to have to use the bully pulpit in a way that he's
exactly. Been how does he put pressure on the mad scientist cult?
I think by literally outlining that there's a breakaway group. Now, he was the one who came on board.
He has to identify them. It's a deep state. Yeah. People know it's true.
Yes,
exactly. It would sound crazy and 10 years ago. Everyone knows it already.
There's no question about it. And he himself, I think, has adjusted to this reality in many ways. He has, over the years, you know, when they were trying to throw him in prison and everything else, he's come out in very, very blunt terms about this secret group controlling things in the background. Now, as president, he needs to say, we need a clear opening of this information and also that he'll share it with the scientists in this country, and that the groups around the world need to share theirs as well, so that the Russians, the Chinese, and
we're
all
talking
the rest of
free
it,
energy, everything. Just do it, God.
Yeah, well, they have their own programs, and they're not doing anything. They're not going to release anything. What they constantly do, though, is there's a kind of UFO espionage going on in the background. What they try to do is release this information. You know, like the Russians when they were fighting the Ukrainians, they were saying, "We shot down a UFO." Over Moscow. Well, shooting down a UFO is very different than saying we're shooting down a drone. They know, as a matter of fact, their UFO file is right up there neck and neck with the United States. So the fact that the world get on board with what this is, and again, I can break down here how we have these different levels of where the technology is coming from, but there's no question that it's there. The advanced technology is there.
Are the aliens just giving us like gifts? Like they we think we're getting it, they're just giving it to us?
Yeah. Well, there is this idea out there that they crashed them on purpose, et cetera, because how could you go through all of these different galaxies and then crash when you get here? I just think there's a law of accident when it comes to anybody and anything. And I think when they get here, you know, they can just as easily.
Well, that's right. If you got a super highway of stuff, but still they're just creatures like us, they're going to get, stuff happens.
Yeah, especially if they're sending out androids over here to check out the terrain. Yeah, an android can sometimes get their programming messed up, let's face it.
A biological android.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we'll
be right back. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And for years, Steven Spielberg, at the heart of UFO pre-programming, I think probably with Expertech, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel List, our journalist, has been building towards this. Now in mid-June, he comes out with his disclosure project. Everything is coming to a head. Right now, the Catholic Church is saying, get ready for this. Something big's about to happen. Here's a short first look today of what's coming out in June with Spielberg's new Close Encounters.
If you found out we weren't alone, if someone showed you, would that frighten you?
So something big is about to happen, Daniel List.
No question about it. Look at the UFO bigwigs lining up for this summer. You've got actually Jerry Bruckheimer, who just did Top Gun Maverick. He's doing a UFO movie. You've got Spielberg doing Disclosure Day. Forget it. They have an S4 movie coming out about Bob Lazar, all within about 6 weeks of each other. Well, that's pretty good marketing if you think about it. So, you know, they realize the fix is in for so much of this. And of course, there was a there's an earlier example of this actually when Biden was vice president and he went out and said, oh yeah, we might find life on Mars. And then they put out the Matt Damon Mars movie right after that. They are in sync. There's no question about it. And Spielberg, deep, deep, deep in the intel tank.
So would you say he's ex-protect or what?
Well, I think that they use him. There's no question about it. He might even be somebody who wants to learn the truth about these things, but they're masters of co-opting those types of people. I've even seen it around in the UFO field. It's remarkable because what they're masters at are that kind of manipulation. The question is, their narrative and their alien narrative, their human history narrative, is totally not anything that's going to be correct for us, because they're going to spit that out and keep that and try to change that.
Well, let's be clear, when they came up with Prometheus 12 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever it was, I already said this is the elite's transpermia thing or whatever that aliens made us. And then Ridley Scott does a New York Times interview and says, no, we in the elite believe aliens created us, and this is our origin, real Garden of Eden. This is what we, this is our religion. So they were telling us right there.
It's true. And that's the kind of social engineering that they want to get out there in the public, that they believe in this. What's interesting, too, is that in their version of the Tree of Life, you actually go around all of the spiritual development and you go right through to the mineral level. That's the technology, and that is this kind of harmonic force that they are into. When you think about this, the alien part plays very, very closely into this, because they like the idea of
they want to bypass spiritual, which is just higher dimensions or other dimensions, and make it all about silicon.
Yes, exactly right. And what's interesting to me is the way that they're doing it. The story that they put out, the minute they allowed the UFO file story to go out broadly in 2017 through the New York Times, signaled a gigantic change, because before that they were saying, oh no, that was us, that was our own craft, whatever, you know, it was a somebody looking at the planet Venus. Then suddenly they got behind this. They realized in that period that the top Google search in 2016 was UFOs, and they said, we need at this point.
Yeah, they can't get away with covering up anymore, so then they know it's coming out. They want to control that. You're about to take over with a huge list of things you sent us. You're about to host the last 50 minutes. Daniel List, our journalist, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I'm not funded
by
Qatar.
Alex.
Thank you, brother. I'm not funded by Qatar, Israel, the U.S. government, anybody. I'm funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com. The products are incredible. Tonight, big sale ends. 100X entries to win the Super Truck or the Ford Shelby. the planet's only alive every 2 months where you win both fields at the same time, $20,000 in cash. But that's a side issue. You want the ultramethylene blue. You want the Irish sea moss. These are all incredible. The Shilajit. You want these products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody, where is the hat? Here it is over here. Every order until Monday. Very simple, clean hat. Black hat, Ring of Stars, 7076. I designed it. A true classic. Everybody gets a free hat. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody who's going to buy anything should be a VIP. You can cancel for any time. You spend $30 at checkout. You usually get $40 to spend at checkout. You make 10 bucks right there off your order. Special deals, special sales, special offers. We fund with great products that enrich and empower your life. Great Patriot apparel. It's a win-win. And we've changed the world together. Please go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and get 100x entries on both the vehicles and everything else. I really appreciate all your support. Now, Daniel List sent me some amazing exhibits here. Dark Journalist takes over right now. Daniel List, you are in command now.
Fantastic. And thank you, Alex. And thank you for addressing this really, really deep, deep subject matter. I always call you an architect of the independent media. And I think stepping forward on this is so timely because you have that ability to influence the culture to really wake up around what they're doing with the UFO file. With some of the exhibits, what I want to go through is that the scientists that are associated with the UFO file become a flashpoint in the war going on between the two sides around this. One of the things I mentioned in relation to the assassination of Dr. Lorero, who was an MIT physicist, and he was a plasma physicist in charge of the Ultra Plasma project going on over there with some of the highest level scientists. And he was assassinated in Brookline, Massachusetts, which is actually very close by. And that community is very buttoned up. It's very hard for somebody to go in there and commit a crime like that and then just take off and, you know, as his assailant did. Now, Valente, the shooter, was found 3 days later in his storage shed over the border into New Hampshire. And there's that strange combination of, you know, how Ghislaine Maxwell was grabbed in New Hampshire. There's some kind of route that takes you out of Boston and into the New Hampshire area to kind of gain cover. But in the case of Lorero, the one thing that I really find fascinating about his work is that he was working on something called a neutron star merger. Now, that is such a super secret and kind of explosive area of technology, and it literally the creation of black holes and when two stars nova together. So the idea that they were working on was some small aspect of that neutron star merger being used to replicate the entire project. Well, that's unlimited energy. It's also highly dangerous and all the rest of it. But to have him assassinated in December and then to have this Caltech assassinated physicist just happen here in Los Angeles, I think is very telling because we're getting around a kind of end game with the UFO file. The UFO file, we've heard, you know, through parents, grandparents, intergenerationally and everything else, what's going on is that people have had encounters and they've had encounters with beings, they've had encounters with craft. So how do you make, what do you make of all this? You've got psychologists who've looked into it. You've got physicists, scientists, you know, the media, researchers. And what do we really have at the end of the day besides a lot of movies and a lot of speculation? Well, what you have is a group inside the national security state, and I've dubbed the group X-Protect because they work with a certain type of technology, which is extraordinary as it sounds, it's X-Technology. And this technology operates in a different field of energetic environments, and I refer to that as apotheum. It's a reality distortion environment. And this is the thing that they've been studying inside the government in terms of these crashes and things like that. When people have encounters or go, when they send scientists in to study these crashed craft, what they're actually getting is these strange sensations that they're walking through things. And when they're abducted, there's missing time. Time in their life seems to go away. The appearance of UFOs also caused an electrical grid to go down. This is all because the field generated by the entry of the unidentified flying object is from a totally different line of humanity. And it's a totally different aspect going on there in terms of physics. Its line of physics is definitely different than what we operate with here on Earth. So what we're looking at is a group coming in with that. And when we see that happening, as we start to get a really close-up look on the UFOs in World War II, because we had flight, we had dramatic, you know, besides the early cases that were going on, we had something rather dramatic happening in the skies. Now, I have a few exhibits I'm going to share with you today in dealing with this. We needed to get a good look at this. One of these revolves around an airship group that made a prediction about an individual that was going to come along and kind of fulfill the magic of all their technology. And they were a group that was around even in the 1860s, and they were far beyond the Wright brothers. They were operating, they came out of Germany originally and operated out of California. But so that exhibit is exhibit four, and this kind of strange Delschau painting, this obscure painter who was associated and tracking them was originally spying on this airship group who was demonstrating early advanced technology as far back as the 19th century. Clearly in the middle of this, and this is a verified painting, it's been in museums for years. If you look at the top there, it says Trump. There's no question about it. This mysterious NIMSA group through the Sonora group put this together. And Delschau, who was the painter, who they discovered all of his works many, many years later, he put it up there. And on the bottom right here, if you go diagonally, just straight down to the right, it says 45, which is the art series, but it's also Trump is the 45th president of the United States. These types of hints are left as a result. Yeah, it's right in there, 45. And these types of hints are left by the mystery schools. These are groups that can see things that are to come. And it's also a kind of predictive programming that they're laying in there. The idea is, how do they know that someone named Trump is going to be associated with this version of advanced spaceflight all the way back there in the 19th century? So when we look at that, I think we get a real handle on what they're doing. Now, the next one I want to show is one that was suppressed here. This is the exhibit is three. This third exhibit is fascinating to me because it comes to us from Scotland. And actually, someone who was at the Sheffield University had emailed me the original of this photo. It's quite fascinating. But if you look at this photo, what you're going to see is a plane tracking in the Scottish mountains, the Scottish hills, this incredibly sized craft, which is at least five times as large as the plane itself. Now, the picture is from 1990. The Department of Defense, Ministry of Defense in the UK hid this picture until 2022. So that picture was off the radar for 32 years. There's a reason for that. And I think what we're looking at there is the essence of what we're talking about when we get around the UFO file. There's an aspect here that we've been able to redevelop and put in the skies. There's also another aspect which belongs more to the environment of something we don't know anything about, and we're tracking it, and we use our best craft to track it. One of the funny things that we see very often is when Elon Musk talks about how SpaceX hasn't seen any aliens or whatever. Well, SpaceX, it's very clear, has the second largest version of exhibits in their libraries of UFO video, satellite feeds, and everything else, because they're up there. But they can't say anything because of their contract with DARPA. So you're never going to hear UFO disclosure from SpaceX. And that's why Musk can sit there with a straight face and say, there are no aliens. Well, he clearly knows different, but he can't say anything about it. It's fascinating to me, though, because one of the battles in the background was over NASA's footage. And NASA also has an incredible treasure trove of footage that comes directly under control of the Department of Defense. It's quite interesting because in the background, there's this battle that was taking place between President Kennedy in the beginning and the setup of NASA and him trying to get it out of the military role and into a scientific role. So I think when we look at this, what happened is this snapped off and broke away. It was a version of the space program. They developed it on their own. They've done it with the public's money, but they created all this space infrastructure. And in the middle of that, they still had the promise of the assassinated president to go to the moon in 1969. So they were going to have to do something in relation to this without exposing the technology and their own experiments. What they ended up doing was this very limited program with very limited aspects of the technology. And in 1972, they just said, hey, we're going to stop. No more moon missions. No more manned moon missions. We're just going to send probes around, and that's how it's going to go. In the mid-1980s, of course, we had the Challenger, and that was going to be the return of manned flight, and it was going to incorporate average citizens like teachers and others. And that got off the ground and exploded. That is the end of President Kennedy's dream of a manned space program and the idea that humanity goes out into space and we make it a war-free environment, an incredible sea of science, and that kind of surprising aspect of the growth of humanity that could take place with all the amazing discoveries in space. Instead, you've got a warlike thing building up in the background, which has now taken us into war. You know, space is a war-fighting domain, war this, war that. Let's put this up there. Let's put nuclear reactors on the moon so we can, you know, power up these AI stations that we're setting up to take over every aspect of your life. Obviously, this is incredible totalitarian control in the wrong hands. And the question is always going to be, what are the wrong hands when it comes to this? And this is where I think we get into a lot of problems with it. But I think that what President Kennedy was looking at and what other concerned presidents like Reagan and now Trump were the aspect of where is the power base around the UFO file? That is the unidentified technology. Who has it inside the government, and why does the executive branch no longer control that? This is the key aspect, and we need to ask ourselves this. How could a group inside the government get enough power to kind of basically blackmail the government with their own advanced technology? And how could that set up all of these different things like the black budget, like missing money, and like this incredible infrastructure going on and the setup of infrastructure in space that the public isn't aware of and doesn't know anything about. This is the nature of the situation. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that so much of this was filtered over to the corporate American side. And it was under the control of this shadowy corridor between aerospace and the intelligence agencies. We're still up against that force, and that force is still exerting its control. One of its manifestations of late is this kind of great Golden Dome idea. And you might think, well, you know, this is a great idea. We'll shoot down the missiles before they come in. Unfortunately, in the wrong hands, it becomes the ultimate surveillance tool. And many of the companies that are signing up to be a part of it are masters of surveillance. So I think what needs to happen here is the general citizenry needs to get their hands back on the steering wheel and drive this situation into a totally different environment. That's the challenge for us, I think, here at this point. One of the other exhibits I want to show is Exhibit 1. I'm going to get into this a little bit because in so many of the UFO encounters, you hear about the encounters with the beings themselves. And there's too many people for this, and it's intergenerational to ignore, you know, and long before there were movies and TV shows about it, there was this whole thing about these people would have these encounters. Now, this being who was they called Junior as kind of a nickname after the fact was what Betty and Barney Hill were dealing with. And the figure stood about 4'10" tall and conducted experiments on them, explained some things to them. One of the things that she emphasized was that it was totally different than what they portray as the grays, as it were, when it comes to the UFO encounter experience. And you can see that this figure looks very much like a human being. It doesn't really look that different. It's not like the gray alien with the big bug eyes and everything else. So what is going on there? I think it's very clear to take from that that this is an eyewitness encounter. You look at it the same way you would a crime scene. What does the eyewitness see? What does that tell you? When you get the sketch artist in, this is what they describe. And basically, it looks like another person. It looks like a person who is bald with larger eyes and striking figures. Now, striking features. What I would say when looking at this is you could be looking at a human offshoot that is coming directly from this planet, has adopted and incorporated more advanced technology and is somehow, you know, playing in or passing off the deception that they are coming here from an interstellar place. And we are automatically assuming that. Not necessarily the case. As a matter of fact, there are many cases in history and echoes of advanced civilizations in the past. So the idea is, did somebody preserve this technology that was very advanced in the past? And are we living in that kind of environment now? Is this what we're seeing? And did we kind of catch up in the 20th century into the 21st century, and now we're starting to look at an equal basis on this? Whatever the revelation, President Trump's announcement now takes on an entirely different meaning, because if you're getting to the heart of the UFO file, you're going to have to deal with questions like that too. It's not just, is there an off-world civilization, you know, diming in here with their scientific group and, you know, going and analyzing people and taking their sperm and taking their fertility and creating hybrids with it. Now you're talking about who would be doing that if they were based here on Earth. What kind of a group would be responsible for an organization like that, who would be basically creating farms of human beings with human material and human genetics? This is, I think, the heart of the study around the UFO file. And it is fascinating because there's too many incredible stories on record. The worst aspect with the UFO file, I think, is where it's gone now, which is all these CIA people coming up and saying, I'm a whistleblower and, you know, I've been abducted and all this stuff. The counterintelligence narrative is going to get us so far away from that truth. One of the other slides I wanted to show before we wrap up here is Exhibit 2. This is interesting to me because it comes from a researcher named Mark McCandlish, and he was very close to these Air Force programs around advanced prototypes for the craft that we were using. And he also died under very mysterious circumstances. We're getting too used to this pattern of people. When they get around the UFO file, they die under suspicious circumstances. But I thought that this craft that he described, it has always stayed with me. And he put a number of these paintings out. And this drawing is what we had developed in the 1960s. It was the Fluxliner, and it looks very much like the redeveloped UFO technology. This Fluxliner operated in a totally anti-gravity situation, and it had done remarkable feats that he had witnessed in watching the craft. And he remembered it, and he was an artist, and he drew it. This is what we're really talking about, which is we've already had these two tracks of development going on, the breakaway X technology going on one hand, and then what we see on the surface, you know, the stealth bomber and things of this nature. So the question is, if they're running 50, 60, 70 years ahead of us here in the public, what is the technology that they actually control? And then the other question we must ask is it possible to fake an alien invasion with that technology? And here's the really banger of a question at the end of all that. It's the third level, which is, what if you're doing an alien invasion, a fake kind of blue beam, street legend type alien invasion, and the real thing shows up? They definitely know there's a real thing. It's interrupted our own launches. It's interrupted our own nuclear facilities. And it's interrupted, you know, a number of things, including our activities on the moon. And of course, there are those legends there that the reason we stopped going to the moon in 1972 was because we were warned off, as it were. Now, there's certainly a gigantic aspect in the middle of that, and even the slightest disclosure is explosive. I think that the fact that President Trump has taken it upon himself to do this is extraordinary, and we're seeing that. In the midst of all this, we're getting some real insight into President Trump and his kind of analysis of the situation, that we're going into a totally different paradigm. It's great to see everyone. I'll be on my show, Dark Journalist, on YouTube tonight at 8 p.m. Please join me. And it's been great to be here. And thank you, Alex and the team. Just incredible crew. We'll talk soon.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
This is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from.
Methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free, you're playing. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's Methylene Blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Wow, fantastic. An incredible Friday here as we're looking at an historic announcement that goes deep, deep into the heart of the deep state and deep, deep into the heart of the black budget. It goes into the Exprotect group, the UFO file. This is not any kind of a casual Friday by any stretch of the imagination. I'm dark journalist Daniel List, and we're going deep here tonight, looking really at something that I would say has to do with a crossover of scientific work on one side and these incredible revelations on the other. And, you know, one of the things that came up during last week, it was President's Day and all the rest of it. And I made a chart of these different presidents and their involvement with the UFO file. But while I was doing that, of course, it occurred to me all the things about Nixon and Trump. I have an exhibit there, Exhibit 6, I wanted to show. And I want to talk about the deep relationship on the presidential level between these two, because it was President Nixon who had been part of the original Blue Book, which was CIA Blue Book, the actual program that took place in the 1950s. But Trump had adopted a relationship with Nixon and actually got him in office in New York, and they exchanged letters for years and became close. In fact, at a certain point, Nixon even predicted that Trump would become president in one of his famous letters. But I think further than that, what we're looking at is Trump coming in with this baked-in knowledge around the UFO file, because the fact that his uncle had worked with Vannevar Bush and had been the protege of Vannevar Bush at MIT, and it was Bush, of course, who sent him in to get the Tesla records and to see if there was, in fact, information there regarding this totally alternative energy source and a death ray. And it's interesting, if you go back to the actual conversation that he had in relation to this, that is John Trump with the FBI, they said, what we want in particular is information regarding taking down flying objects at a great distance. That was the area of research that they were interested in Nikola Tesla for. And that, if you just put the unidentified part in that, you've got how do we take down UFOs at a distance, which is basically what they ended up doing, because UFO became the actual headquarters of the UFO file in the beginning. And they coined the term UFO and they coined the term X-Files, which is quite interesting when we get into it. On that presidential side, you can see John Trump harboring this information. You know, he'd been part of these secret projects in the UK. He'd been part of these secret projects in going into Paris with Eisenhower. So John Trump wasn't just, you know, a kind of a nerdy professor at MIT. This was somebody in the very heart of the dynamic research of particle smashing, what eventually gave us CERN and microwave radiation, space contacts, and everything else. John Trump was at the very height of that. Very often, President Trump is fond of saying, Uncle John and the things that he gave me, you know, he gave me all this. He told me all about nuclear before anyone knew the secrets of nuclear. So he's indicating, even in early interviews, that Uncle John is a big influence on him. By the time he gets into office, one of the main things he will use as a calling card when he gets into different type of squabbles in government is the strange kind of lilting story back there about how his Uncle John Trump gave him so much and he was so advanced beyond everyone else and all the rest of it. And the truth is, it's a fact, because John Trump was not only deep in the Tesla X technology, he was deep in the UFO file through Vannevar Bush. So you see, the crisscross there is dramatic and it needs to be looked at in history. I've done a number of episodes on it. I've even done a documentary on it. But what I think we need to look at now is Trump is up against all of this as 47, the 47th president of the United States. Here's the clash. That deep state is more powerful than ever with him getting into office. And as they demonstrated by getting Biden into office, as they demonstrated with the COVID operation and others, the deep state is probably at the height, the zenith of its powers, but it's also been shell-shocked by the reactions against it. So we're in a very kind of, I called it perilous, and I think I'll stick with the term when it comes to this. But one of the little things that got missed at the end of the Trump administration was this unusual mention of what was basically the Israel Space Defense Chief saying that extraterrestrials had contacted President Trump. And this actually is Exhibit 5 in my feed, but what's going on there is quite fascinating, because it's before Trump leaves office. It's 2019, and it's the head of the Israeli space program, and his name is Chaim Eshed. And Chaim Eshed would be like, you know, Jared Isaacman or somebody over here. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, that's Nuno Lorero, the professor. It must be 7, I suppose. Yeah, it's 7, actually. Nuno Lorero, of course, is the scientist who was unceremoniously removed, and he was actually shot in his apartment on the porch, just like this other scientist, Carl Grillmeyer, who was the Caltech scientist, both of them working on this ultra-secret aspect of dark matter and the neutron star merger tech. And their tragedies in both cases. I think we can learn a great deal from these people who were trying to reach out, as it were, and give us, you know, a totally different understanding of, and they were really achieving some things. I think in the case of Lorero, the bizarre trek of his assailant, you know, performing these murders at Brown University and then coming up, somehow finding him in his Brookline apartment and shooting him is something that, again, gives us that hint that the group around X-Protect their expertise is removing the people that they feel are obstacles. And very often they can discredit them. You can look at the different cases through history. Even people like Jim Garrison and the Kennedy assassination were discredited over and over again. And you could kind of control them by destroying their reputations. That happened very often. The other one I wanted to see is actually Exhibit 7, I believe. And that's the one I was referring to. And that has to do with the NASA space chief of Israel, you know, their version of NASA, and him saying, you know, Trump was contacted by this Galactic Council and, he was going to disclose, but they said, no, we don't think humanity is quite ready for it yet, but they're coming along. I mean, these are dramatic things. Unless he had lost complete control of his senses during this period, you'd have to wonder why this guy would come out and say this under any circumstances, disinformation or otherwise. But it was an extraordinary statement, and it happened right in the period when Trump was doing his own version of the Space Force. And so what Jaime Shedd said was, extraterrestrials exist, and Trump knows all about it. There's a galactic group here, and they are, you know, monitoring our operations. Well, I think we could look at this from a few different levels, because we can say, on one hand, it's quite possible that there's a Galactic Council and that they do off-world operations and that scientific groups from other civilizations come here. I think it's very possible that this is true, and there's a lot of evidence that points toward it. On the other hand, there's been so much disinformation about that that they've been setting up in the background this false version of a UFO threat. And the UFO threat is something that we need to get our minds wrapped around when it comes to this type of advanced technology, exotic technology. This is the stuff that the corporations have been pouring the billions in for in the background. And if we can understand, if we get a snapshot of who they are, then we realize this battle's been going on ever since John Trump showed up at the safe to look at Tesla's papers in 1943. That's a long time. And we've gone through World War II, the Kennedy assassination, the Vietnam War, Iran-Contra, 9/11, and these deep events over and over again, the personnel and the people involved show up as part of this emergency planning branch, the continuity of government branch. So what is a better way to bring in COG, as it were, the continuity of government group, than to literally say, you know what? There's a space emergency. There are all these UFOs in the sky, and we need NORAD to take over, and here's your COG commander. Now, one of the things I think the public needs to understand when it comes to the COG commander is he is the NORTHCOM commander. So you've got him as the NORTHCOM commander, he is the NORAD commander, and he's the COG combatant commander. And the reason that's important is, in the event of a national emergency, they flip the switch and turn on the continuity of government, and he becomes the combatant commander of the United States. The president, Congress, everything's moved aside. He's the one. And what he does is he appoints regional governors in that event, and the regional governors will control things until, everything gets back to normal, and we've created a situation where it's possible that, basically, you'll run an election again and all the rest. Of course, in a real emergency like the one they're planning, that would never happen. So what happens is, during this course of events, this general takes over. Now, the general in question, General Guillot, who's in there now, he's the NORTHCOM commander, as I mentioned. He has a connection now to the Florida Air Base, where it was rumored that they had stored UFO material. So there seems to be some kind of a fingerprints of these groups whenever you get around the emergency powers aspect. And the commander before him was actually part of the 509th group. And when you think about the 509th group, even though this was many years later, the 509th was the original group that found the Roswell material. And in that case, a massive spaceship crashed over a ranch, and there were all these strange metal fragments everywhere. And what was it that the intelligence officer, Jesse Marcel, described years later, because they covered up the incident and nobody talked about it for 30 years. But he came out at the end of his life and said they were covered in hieroglyphs. So you see, we're dealing with something very, very unusual. It could be very, very old or very, very in the future. It's a kind of a future past type situation when we look at it. Now, I would say that it's crucial for us to understand that continuity of government is not some mythical aspect. It's a crucial part of the government. As a matter of fact, COG was called during 9/11, and they, you know, that whole switch got flipped. Now, what I would say when looking at this is that they were doing that as kind of a dry run for what they would do in the future with the UFO threat. And strangely enough, when you go back there in history and listen to certain people like Fletcher Prouty, who was somebody who worked for the Joint Chiefs between the CIA and the Joint Chiefs for years, and he had put out a number of things about the secret team and how, you know, he was very clear that Kennedy was assassinated by the Central Intelligence Agency. It's interesting because at the end of his life, he puts out something in 1997, which is a new version of the book, The Secret Team. And in there he says, UFOs and aliens are being prepped for this role now that we used to have the Russians in. It's this kind of national security threat. So, you know, it's very clear to some people, but for some reason in the UFO field, it's all take on the CIA people, take on the NGA people, take on the NRO people. They know they'll give us the truth, et cetera. So one of the key things to watch about President Trump's effort in regard to all the things that you see going on here is, what is President Trump going to do in relation to who is going to be on the search for these different files, artifacts, and even recovered materials from alien spacecraft? Who is actually in the heart of that? Because if it is the CIA doing the cleanup, if it's the NGA doing the cleanup on that, you're not going to get any real answers. You're going to get invented ones. Because, you know, we have to understand this also on kind of a psycho-spiritual level, which is, it's the ultimate hope of these groups that what they can do is actually take you and I and give us a totally different human origin story, because their greatest rival, in a sense, is religion. And what they've tried to do is come up with various aspects of what this could be, and they've played them out, and they've taken in different types of data mining as a result of this. Part of that they want to do is say, well, the super overlords came from somewhere else. They came here, and there's an elite group here, and that's why we should, you know, give all our power over to the machines. These are real plans, and this is the amazing thing about it. And I would think that when we look at the aspects of the government that deal with the UFO file, we have each individual branch, the Navy, the Air Force, you know, the Army. If you look at these different groups, they each have their own hold on the UFO track. As a matter of fact, I remember talking to the Canadian defense minister, Paul Hellyer, at the time, and telling him, look, you know, how do they keep the secrecy at this level? And he was someone who was very open, spoke very openly about the fact that there were UFOs and visitors here from off-world planets. And he said, well, what they do, the way that they set it up, is they have in the background agreements where the militaries in Canada talk to the militaries in the United States, and they leave out the executive branch. Now, think about that. Very often, everyone says, well, the president can declassify UFOs and everything else, and Trump is making that effort now. This is the effort to pull the UFO file back under the executive umbrella. And a lot of the things, you know, what I try to do on the Dark Journalist Show is give us some foundation for how to see how that battle in the background is playing out on this level. And I think we've seen a great deal of it going on in relation to this in the Trump-Obama flex here. You know, Obama flexed and said aliens exist. It's a pretty large-scale statement. I mean, Obama, in his era, in his time, you know, he wasn't Joe Biden. He was actually fairly popular in his first term. And I think that this is somebody that people, you know, especially on the Democrat side, would absolutely listen to, even though he was so quiet in relation to, you know, the UFO file during his presidency. Barely anything came out there. They were waiting for Hillary to come in for the whole piece. But one of the things that I've brought to the attention of the public around Obama is this, that he is involved as executive producer putting out something called White Mountains, which is a Netflix presentation movie, major movie, been in development for 2 years, all about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case in New Hampshire, long, long time ago, where they were driving up there in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, and suddenly a light followed their car. They heard a beeping sound. They saw people on the road. And basically, they were abducted into a large spacecraft. Tests were done on them, and they came out of this. And when they had got back home, they realized many hours were missing. This is a classic example, but in 1961, when that happened, it wasn't so classic. So the question is, where does so much of this come from? And I think if we, you know, take a look at what was happening in the zeitgeist in the era, we start to get a handle on how this is 60 years later, the same problem playing out in the background. It's the same clash of the deep state and the ex-protected group that we had going on, in fact, in 1963. I would say that in 1963, with the assassination of President Kennedy, you had the end of an early disclosure effort by President Kennedy, which was first nation to nation, as he was going to share it with Khrushchev and the Russians. Now, we've put it on the record that, in fact, it is the space program that's the origination of the heart of the assassination program. And what happened, I think, in the case of NASA with Kennedy is they saw, hey, he's going to give basically our most vital secret over to the Soviet Union. And that most vital secret was, in fact, the UFO file. Now, one of the people I spoke to in regard to this was the Watergate lawyer, Douglas Caddy. And Caddy, I can tell you, is a historical figure. This is not somebody who speaks lightly about anything. And he's a canny character who's been involved in all sorts of the history of the United States. But he was the lawyer for the Watergate 7. And it just so happened that his best friend, who he was a lawyer for, was E. Howard Hunt. And when Hunt was going to prison, you know, they had one last dinner there in at a Chinese restaurant famous in Washington, D.C. And he pulled him aside and he said, well, I just want to know one thing, you know, since I'm not going to see you, Howard, what is it that caused the Central Intelligence Agency to murder the 35th president of the United States? Why did they kill John Kennedy? And Hunt said, John Kennedy was killed because he was about to give our nation's most vital national security secret away to the Russians. And Caddy couldn't believe this. He said, why would Kennedy do anything like that? What secret are you talking about? And Hunt looked at him and said, the UFO file is the alien presence. And then he walked away off to prison. And in fact, Caddy never spoke to him again. But that incredible revelation dovetails with something I mentioned with Alex earlier, all about Harold Malmgren, who was a Kennedy national security staffer. And he said, you know, what was going on there was an incredible clash in the background. They wanted to hoard the technology, the people like LeMay, the ex-protect type groups on the CIA side. They didn't want anything to do with it. And they had as an ally in there this other group, which was the Project Paperclip NASA scientists. So that group was there, and they were feeding out this information. And the Nazi paperclip group that we had recruited into our national security program to go to the moon and develop missiles and everything else included many, many unsavory characters. That's just a fact of history now. And one of the really, I think, extraordinary things about all that is Kennedy's overture, which is recorded from a memo on November 12th, 1963, was to share. He directs the director of the Central Intelligence Agency to share that intelligence of the high-threat UFO cases, because they were tracking so much of this and didn't have a handle on everything about what was behind the craft that were operating you know, in our skies, basically you know, without any kind of fear. And he gave that memo, and I think that nod was the last piece in the Kennedy case. They said, this guy, forget it. And in particular, on the paperclip side, they had just been in a war with the Russians, the Soviet Union, and they had just killed 30 million Russians. And the idea then that we're going to get into the situation with the hostile Russians and give them the UFO technology that our advanced German scientists have been working with in the background was ludicrous. In that case, for them, it was treason. They were eliminating a national security threat, and that was President Kennedy. Kennedy's vision was, if we can share the technology, if we can go to the moon together, if we can have a joint moon mission, if we can do this and incorporate these other nations, we're not going to have the nuclear threat card so in our face all the time. We're not going to annihilate each other, and we're not going to bring weapons into space. And so President Kennedy's dream, in that sense, was to bring us into an entirely different setup and situation. And that situation was, we're going to go and have a joint moon mission. Well, that's the end of the arms race. That's the end of the Vietnam War. That's the end of the Cold War. You know, all of those incredible benefits are not going to be realized by the military-industrial complex. What's that going to do for Boeing or Lockheed? How are those guys going to make any money? Well, they couldn't see their way through on this. And the X-Protect group decided, not only President Kennedy, we're going to limit his actions, we're going to get rid of him completely. And when they did that, and then they got the media to go along with it, somewhere in that national security structure, they didn't care because they just wanted their objectives. But the government trust was lost there so dramatically that even now, if they were to roll out, you know, a full-fledged UFO on the White House lawn, it's going to take a lot of rebuilding of trust for us even to believe, in this case, what it would be. Now, I think that President Trump's efforts in this are, in fact, genuine. And he's also very strategic with what he does. And I don't think that, in terms of presidents, you have anyone more informed on the UFO file except Kennedy. And Kennedy's information, of course, as I mentioned, came through Defense Secretary Forrestal. So there was a long line there of getting rid of these people. And Forrestal was the heavy hitter on the track of the UFO file. Now, what I can tell you is we can get to that place with this announcement, with the Trump announcement of getting real UFO disclosure and also exposing the X-Protect group that has been thwarting history and really taking the public's money for its own purposes. That's the crucial aspect, I think, in understanding the governing structure of planet Earth, is to get to who's controlling the UFO file. And that's what we're doing here. And of course, Alex has been spotlighting this issue, really giving it some presence. And that's fantastic as someone who has so much credibility as Alex does on these matters. And we'll be doing a show tonight on Trump's announcement and the whole piece. I have several other pieces to bring to bear on all this. Thank you so much. And of course, it's Dark Journalist at darkjournalist.com, Dark Journalist on YouTube, Dark Journalist on X. I'll be there. It's been great to be here with you. Join us in the Ideas Room tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to go deep, deep. Thanks, everyone.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want that to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, Share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.